So, Brother Jeff Shaw, how are you doing?
Excellent, Michael. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You can probably hear the roosters chirping away there. So, we have Brother Jeff on the phone, Jeff Shaw. Jeff, what is the name of your company?
Company is Seeds Green Printing and Design. We're an environmental green printing company and design firm that works with clients all over the U.S. and in Canada and some parts of Europe in developing extraordinary marketing pieces and printing those pieces in a sustainable, ecological, and green method.
So wonderful. So you have a design company and a printing company. That's wonderful, bro. And all green. You printed Nick's book. Did you print the first edition of Amazing Grace as well?
We did. We've printed a lot of Nick and David Avocado Wolf's materials, Amazing Grace, Nick's love story, the Sun Food Diet Success System, David's Eating for Beauty, the Superfoods book, and quite a few other miscellaneous projects on that front.
Yay. So you're obviously the real deal, Jeff. Otherwise, you would have gone under by now and wouldn't have done this. How long have you been doing your printing for? Doing this whole thing?
Well, I started my company in 1997, so we're approaching 14 years. I've personally been involved in the printing, graphics, photographic field for 25 years. So I'm deep-rooted in the graphics industry and have pretty much a broad spectrum of knowledge and interest in the whole field.
Yeah. So the point of these calls is to help those listening, you wonderful beings, the person listening, to get an idea of how they can create their own business, stroke project, stroke tribe, helping people service thing, whatever it is that you're calling, to get out in the world and do something cool. And it can be something that's very local and just helping people around you, or it can be a huge project. It doesn't really matter, but whatever's the best thing ever for you is the thing that we're encouraging you to do. And so I'm going to ask Jeff some questions about how he managed to do this, what he does, the way he does it, and to give you some tips so that you can speed up your own manifestation of your project. And the point of these interviews is to give you some inspiration, to get you in touch with real-life people who are doing real things, and also to give you a reality check of what it actually takes to go from an idea to an actual physical thing that is tangible, and to, you know, smash any illusions, to get over the BS, because there can be so much BS in the New Age movement and just dreamers and not really willing to do the work needed, and that's not what we believe in around here. We are into vision, plan, and action, and getting things done, and getting your sleeves rolled up and getting on with it when needed. And of course, also doing things in a way that is fun and enjoyable and not killing us, because you kind of got these two extremes, people who are just dreamers and never do anything, and then people who are like hard workers and they don't really have the vision, they just work themselves to death and all after the money. So we don't want to be all after the money working ourselves to death, and we don't want to be dreaming away and not doing anything. We want to have a nice somewhere in the middle that works nicely for us. And so Jeff has done a lot of wonderful stuff. He has a great company. I hope if you have any projects that need printing or design, then you go and see Jeff and have him do all your stuff for you. Because Jeff is his personal friend. He's on the training. And I'm sure everyone knows Taylor. Jeff is Taylor's partner. And there's all sorts of stories about how they met and things like that, which we could share another time, which is quite fun, isn't it, bro, Jeff?
Yes, that is an exciting and fun journey to tell.
And we can save that for another time. But Jeff's going to, you know, just really share with you some stuff about how he got where he is and how you can basically do the same thing yourself. So what inspired you, Jeff, to set up this company back in 2007? What, you know, what was it that went from you, whatever you were doing before, to somehow getting this inspiration from somewhere and then actually doing it? How did that initial phase, the beginning, the genesis of this wonderful service you're doing for the world appear? What happened at that point?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd just like to say, you know, what is inspiring me is the work that you and Nick and everybody over there, David, and the entire superhero team, because as you're well aware, I've been around the superheroes for many, many years, probably 10 plus at this point in time, and it really is an ongoing inspiration to the work and the commitment that you and the whole team has over there to share this work and to really fold people in who are making tremendous contributions out there in real life, in real time, with real projects, and making the planet a better place for us all to live, and sharing their experiences so that we can raise the vibration of consciousness out there to others who are seeking to do the same and have extraordinary talents. I know everybody in the superhero program, and just looking at the profiles and meeting people and networking with them, everyone has their unique gift. And so I would encourage all of you, you know, as I share my gift, and what I've done and what has inspired me to move this business forward in an industry that has in the past not been the most sustainable, that you will take from this whatever you can and make the powerful enhancements and visionary changes to your own dreams to have that manifest into the world so we can all sharing your gifts. I'd just like to acknowledge you, Brother Michael, and the whole team in making this program available.
Oh, thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you so much. And likewise, Brother, for all, everything you're doing to make this easier. And just as a quick aside, Brother Jeff absolutely is a superhero. And many, many things Brother Jeff does on all sorts of levels, practical levels, and just holding space. And Brother Jeff is truly a superhero, deserves the title, and has earned it consistently. And I look forward to seeing you soon, Jeff. Jeff stayed in this house. Jeff has helped out in so many ways and provided many, many gifts and blessings. And, you know, frankly, Jeff is... I don't know, bro. I'm lost of words, actually. So, blessings. Yeah, but so that's why you're on this interview, bro. And yeah, I know you've got some absolute gold to share with everyone today. So, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
And I genuinely am looking forward to seeing you soon because I know you're going to be coming back here. So, let's get to it. What inspired you, Brother Jeff? there you were, 97, didn't have a printing company and a graphic design company like we do now. There wasn't much sustainable printing around. Most of it's all sorts of terrible inks and terrible papers and whatnot. And what inspired you?
That's a very good question. And, you know, I have to go back to a vision that I have when I was a very young boy. And I used to love books. And I had a bookcase with all my children's books on it. And sometimes I would just stand in front of that bookcase and I would admire all the different colors and the textures and the covers and the pictures and just the fascination with the printed books. And I remember one year my grandfather bought me this little, it was like a little briefcase. It was kind of like the businessman, the little child's briefcase. You could put things in. It was kind of like you could take your books and pencils and crayons and things to school in. But what I ended up doing is I'd take the books off the bookshelf and I would put those all in my briefcase, my little school bag. And I don't know why I did that, but I was just so fascinated and so appreciative of those books and just the feel and the touch of them that I put them in the briefcase and I would carry them around the house just to have them with me. And that's a particular... and so now it's kind of like I look back, you know, 40, you know, some odd years later, and it's kind of like it's here I am in the printing business where I'm dealing with and appreciating these works of art that people like yourselves in the superhero program actually put together. And they're your seeds. I mean, that's one of the reasons we called it Seeds Green Printing, because, you know, a seed is you know, the beginning. You have a vision, and a lot of you have visions in this program, and you have ideas, and you have kind of your creative field and mission that you want to manifest. And so a lot of times we're working with a client who has an idea, they don't know how to manifest it into the physical world as far as marketing or printing or how to advertise or maybe create a label. So we're kind of taking those ideas as seeds and creating something from the idea so they can go out into the world and sell it for the benefit of others and watch those seeds, you know, blossom and grow into other businesses. So, you know, from very on, I just had this fascination with printed material. I then went on in my college years, I sold professional camera equipment. And so I was always very appreciative of the photography and the graphics. And I went on to work in college for a telephone directory printer, which then led to being recruited by one of the world's largest commercial printing companies, which was R.R. Donnelly and Sons, right out of college as a magazine and catalog sales representative. And so that whole journey kind of led me into the printing industry, and in working for Donnelly, I really had exposure to not only magazines, but catalogs, label printing, book printing, and at that point in time, early, you know, 20 years ago, printing is and paper making is, a lot of you may not know, but it's really a large-scale trillion-dollar industry. And there wasn't the best sustainable practices used early on. And as you know, paper making with chlorination and the dioxins and a lot of the paper mills being located close to streams and rivers were creating some environmental issues. And, you know, I was present to that. I toured paper mills, and being in the printing plants, there's a lot of chemicals that were used. And I basically decided as going forward that I really wanted to make the biggest impact, make the biggest difference. And in that period of time, I became a vegetarian. And I started awakening and becoming a lot more conscious of my contribution to the planet and the impact and the footprint that I was making, and not only on my own, but I was supporting large multi-million dollar clients, printing millions and millions of catalogs and magazines a year to add to that waste and unsustainability. And at that point in time, I decided that there needed to be a big shift, and that my vision was really to turn the printing and paper industry around by educating clients and customers as to what is the ongoing future of the industry and the sustainability therein. And so at that point, I started my company.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed, because you didn't just think, oh, there's this thing that I don't like, let's start a petition against something, and like, I'm anti it, and like, those terrible people. You actually did something practical about it and created an alternative. And I think this is a very, very important distinction. A lot of people are like anti things, or I don't like that, I don't like the government, I don't like war, but they're not necessarily pro peace or pro healthy ways of living and healthy systems or good government. They're not pro the thing that they're against. They're just anti. It's like an ego trip. So you actually decided to do something practical and say, look, you've got one option, is pollute a bunch of stuff and, like, you know, do all this unsustainable stuff, or you can have another option. You made that other option available to people that wasn't available very much, just like organic food didn't used to be available hardly at all, and now it is. So well done, Bert. Congratulations. So that was 1997.
1997.
Yay.
Yes, and I mean, there's obviously, it didn't happen overnight, and there was a lot of contemplation and kind of decision making that went into starting my own business. But at the time, there was a lot of technological transformation that was happening also. I mean, there was the process of, it used to be, in order to make plates and film, you had to developers for the plates, and you had to actually make film. And then the whole digital revolution came into play, and I was really part of that, and I saw how, like, one of my clients was Fisher Scientific, and every year they produced a 2,400-page four-color catalog. Okay, now this is the type of volume the amount of paper that was required to produce that job was 45 train cars full of paper.
Wow.
Printed on press for a month and a half. Okay. Each book, each catalog weighed 11 pounds.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, this is kind of the mother of all mothers when it comes to cataloging. The largest, single most revolutionary change that kind of happened overnight was the digital technology, where they were producing film on 2,400 pages of that catalog, and then overnight it shifted and digital plate making became available, and they took all their images and digitized them on, it was called a jukebox. You imagine the old record players. Well, this had like 100 CDs on it. It recorded all their graphic images on it, and it imaged those directly on the printing plate. And that was a huge environmental savings. And so those are the things I was kind of exposed to in the industry. And I thought, well, if this is the way technology is going, and this is the speed in which it is going, then certainly there's an opportunity to do this in an environmentally conscious way. And so, you know, just kind of like yourself and Nick and David Wolf, he was kind of like the leader in bringing raw cacao and goji berries to the commercial masses. It's like now you can go into pretty much any health food store and find a goji berry. Well, it was 10 years ago, goji berries really weren't on anybody's radar. And 10, 15 years ago, environmental printing, being green, being sustainable, being conscious, how are we going to, you know, leave the planet better for the next generation, wasn't on anybody's radar in the printing industry.
No, and I think this is a really good point, a few good points here that I want to emphasize, underline. One is that you saw a seed, a trend, something was happening. You were actually aware, you know, you were conscious of something was changing. You know, you'd be surprised how many companies and how many people see something changing and refuse to do anything about it. Like, so many companies have been destroyed by the internet because they refused to embrace the internet, and it ended up ruining them because they just didn't get on the point, you know. And the same like with music, all the record companies are all pretty much screwed nowadays. The record stores, people don't bother going to buy CDs. Everything's now digital. iTunes has taken over the record stores. But a lot of people were in denial of that, and now they're all bankrupt. So you were aware there was a change, and you didn't just sort of sit back and go, oh, this is probably, hopefully this just goes back to normal again. You went for it. And that's the same thing that's happening now, but in a much, much more severe pace. The world is crumbling, systems are crumbling, the economy is crumbling, everything's crumbling. And you can sit back and go, oh, hopefully it's going to return back to like it was 10 years ago. Or you can get with the program and just embrace it. And so you embraced it, first of all, which is great. And the other thing is that you recognized there was a problem, and you decided to be the one to solve the problem, you know, and innovate, be innovative, and know that that's the way that things are going to go, and take advantage of the fact that that's the way they're going, and provide the solution like I mentioned earlier, rather than just ignoring it. And I think that's essential, because this comes back, and this is a really important point for anyone who wants to do business or service. If there isn't a need, if there isn't a problem that needs solving, if there isn't an actual need, no one cares at all. So if you have a project going on and it's like, oh, my project is how to, you know, create a lawnmower that kind of goes up and down trees or something, it's like, well, that's all very well, but no one cares, because no one needs a lawnmower going up and down trees. So you can spend your whole life on it, but it's a waste of time. So it's really important that your project, firstly, is something that's deeply inspiring in your heart, and secondly, is something that is useful to other people, like green printing or helping people to deal with the changes that are happening, or, you know, like David Wolf's example, giving them an alternative to eating a bunch of junk food and getting best of herbs and superfoods down them. So, yeah, so you were aware of the changes, you embraced it, you had something valuable, you offered an alternative, and that was all really, you were aware of this probably unconsciously before you even started anything, you know? And that's why ultimately you're still successful now. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, and I'll let you go back to your story.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. I think the important point there is that there was an instinctual realization that you can see pretty much in any industry. And, yeah, like the situation we're in now, we're not in a sustainable system that's going to be useful too much farther out in the future. You know, things have to change. And in looking at the way books were manufactured. I mean, we were entering into a situation where there's a lot of attention placed on, well, where are we getting the paper? And, you know, we're cutting down a lot of trees. There's these ancient forests which we're needing to exploit in order to get more paper into the industry. So instinctually, if you look at that, you say this current system of manufacturing, this current system of the way we're doing things isn't sustainable. And looking forward, as people in this program look at what is the business I'm going to be starting, what is the future, you know, it's important to play it out. Like, what's going to happen, you know, 10 years from now? What's it going to be like 20 years from now? And you may not know the answers to that, but, I mean, you have, like, people like Paul Allen and Richard Branson. They're developing, you know, commercial airlines that will fly into space. Now, you know, that's kind of like the lawnmower that cuts trees. Do we really need that? But, you know, they're visionary thinkers, and everybody in this program is a visionary thinker, and they're looking at what are the next systems that we can put in place that are going to be pioneering and sustainable and for the betterment of the planet. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, suborbital spacecraft is necessarily going to be the best thing, but the point is that when you have these ideas that you want to initiate change and your instincts are telling you to do that, it's important, you know, when it was important for me is to look out and how could I affect that change? You know, paper was a big thing. What if we had all paper was 100%, you know, post-consumer recycled? What if it was made from garbage? You know, instead of putting the books into the landfill, we just, like, bring them in, recycle them, and make brand new books. Is that possible? Is it if we printed with, you know, at that time there wasn't, it was all petroleum-based inks, and toluene. Toluene is like turpentine. It's highly combustible, and the TV guides, you know, the major catalogs that we're all used to getting in the mail, the L.L. Beans, the J. Crews, the Lens End, a lot of those companies were printing rotogravure, and the printing plants were such that you had to wear little booties for any static electricity would create a spark, the entire plant would ignite and explode. Now, that's not, when you look at that and you're in that every day, you say, this is not the best ever. You know, this is not healthy for the people that are here. This is not healthy for the planet. You know, and you know, you see, you know, millions and millions of truckloads of catalogs leaving for the post office every day. You kind of look at it and say, how can this change? What can I do? What product am I offering? What is my vision that can kind of shift this paradigm and create something new, something that is more sustainable? And we definitely weren't the most popular concept. You know, we, again, pioneering a new idea and finding clients who were willing to use that process, who were willing to pioneer, who had the same commitments, was the important thing. And as you all have your projects, that's one thing I'll say is the, you know, in developing a conscious business is to really have people that are aligned with your vision, whether it's employees that are working for you, whether it's people that are helping you manufacture your product, or whether it's your end consumer, because everybody kind of has to be on the same vision or same mission to drive it to the next level.
Yeah, that's important. You know, this comes back to this thing of if you're leading a tribe, which is really what you're doing, if you go out there and create a project and you're helping other people and you're offering an alternative, what you're doing is leading a tribe. And in this Jeff's case, he's leading a green tribe, a green seed tribe. So people are into green, they want to help the environment, they believe in newness. They believe in new opportunities, new situations, being sustainable, doing things a different way. Same with organic, same with eating different, same with spiritual things. there's always a tribe. There's always a group of people who believe in something different, and they'll put their money on the line for it. They'll put their time on the line for the thing they believe in, and those people will give you a lot, and they get a lot. They give a lot and they get a lot, and everyone's happy. You know, it's done with love. And so that's what it means to lead a tribe. But if you try and work with people who are not like that, who don't believe in what you believe in, who are not interested, who've got a different paradigm, a different set of beliefs, it's absolute nightmare. Everyone complains. No one enjoys it. And it just doesn't work. And I think Jeff made an important point there of it has to be on all levels. You know, you, obviously, you yourself, you have to be consistent with what you're doing, what you believe. Personally, you know, on all levels in your own life, you know, you want to get rid of any, you know, hypocrisy, because that screws things up straight away. And then the people you hang out with and your staff, your team, and your clients, they should all be on the same page, because otherwise it's a nightmare. And you only need one or two people, even one person who's not quite on the same page, and it can totally mess things up. Wouldn't you say, Jeff? You know, you can, like, you should get a little bit of poison in there. It's a bit of a hassle, you know, to deal with.
Yes, that is an excellent point. And there's two aspects to that. And one is that people can be educated. I mean, there's always an opportunity to receive information and have people make that shift. Maybe they're not on the same path or aligned with what you're talking about when you first talking about it, but your enthusiasm, kind of back to Napoleon Hill's foundational work, you know, enthusiasm is 9/10 of the process, and your enthusiasm is gonna shift their view and bring them to your thinking and get them excited about what they might not necessarily be excited about because they don't have any reference points. They don't, like, you know, somebody who's eaten standard American diet doesn't have a reference point for eating, you know, some of the highest quality superfood herbs on the planet. But the enthusiasm that's shared about that shifts people's reality very quickly. So that everybody has the ability to take their vision, turn it into enthusiasm, and enroll not clients, suppliers, employees, you know, friends, family, business associates as to what the vision is. And it's important to have your vision. It's important to have it clear and concise. But on the other hand, your enthusiasm can go so far. Either people are going to come over and they're going to support you and be like, oh, we're for this, you know, 150%, we're behind you, we're on it, you know, tell me what I need to do, where are we going, what's the mission? But then there's also some basic factors. You really want to have people, and what's been supportive to me and my business is people that are 100% aligned as far as being having complete integrity. You know, you need people that are highly integrous, and that's just a foundational building block of who they are, and that they're 100% responsible, that no matter what you give them to do, they do complete work, they follow through, they do whatever they do with the highest level of integrity that they can to support their work. And so those are, I would say, as far as having a business, starting a business, following through on your vision, those are important things to look for in people. And once you have those basics, you can shift them with information.
That's great. Yeah, once there's a clear mission that actually helps people, that people believe in and can get behind and really feel good about, and everyone involved in the project has been, you know, either they maybe didn't understand what they've been educated or they already knew, but basically everyone knows the mission, the vision, feels good about it and is up for it. And once you've got all those people there and they're all up for it, it's fun. It really is fun. You know, you could say that what I'm doing right now is work. This technically is my job, talking to Brother Jeff about these wonderful things. But I consider this all play. And I go to the beach and I talk about this sort of thing. I could potentially be anywhere right now and where there's reception so I can talk to Jeff. And it's all fun, but it's also work, and I'm also helping you by helping you with your mission. So it's, when you do what you love and when you've got a mission that's valuable, you attract people easily, and the whole thing is fun. And if it isn't happening and it isn't fun, probably it's not your mission. I think that's a good way of telling, you know. Not to say that everything always works out 100% all the time, but there's that kind of inner knowing. So I'd love to encourage Jeff to tell us about some of your greatest challenges, Jeff. Some of the things that, some reality check moments, because on the one hand, it's fun, it's all good, and most of the time things work out, and we manifest stuff, and we have the best day ever, and everything's smooth, but there's also, you know, speed bumps along the way. The mountain goes up and down, up and down. There's all sorts of potential dramas that happen, and these are just the things that the superhero has to deal with. So I'd like you to talk about some of the most horrifying experiences you've had in business and what you've learned from that. Just give a reality check and how you've handled stuff and how it, you know, turned out for the better. Because most of the time when these various kinds of disasters and failures happen, they actually shift things around for us and really make a big difference. And it's not obvious at the time. And as a superhero, I think all we can do is just know that whatever happens is good somehow, in the highest interest of all, and try and be open to whatever is the best ever, no matter what, even though it doesn't make sense. But I don't know what Jeff's going to say, but I'm interested in what have been some of these challenges and dramas, and how have you turned them around.
All right. Thank you, Brother Michael. Well, you know, challenges are, you know, challenges are given. Go ahead.
When things went horribly wrong, Jeff, but don't tell me you've never had any problems.
No, I have my fair share of problems. But I just want to kind of give you my philosophy on challenges. You know, challenges are learning opportunities, you know, and really that's why they're given to us. It's kind of like, how are we going to be a superhero in this experience and get to the other side, you know, assembled as much as possible and be victorious in whatever challenge is thrown out there in front of us. You know, it's kind of like the heroin experience, and you're only as good as you know, your next opportunity or challenge. So,
yeah, and all you need really is a little briefcase of books to carry around, and then everything's all right again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen this briefcase of yours, by the way, Jeff. I just had that image of you standing in front of your bookshelf going, oh, that's so lovely, all these books. So next time you come, bro, you're going to have to bring your little briefcase. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so challenges. I would say the most valuable thing for me, no matter what the challenge is, I mean, it could be you know, a job goes disastrously wrong.
Give us a real example, a real practical example.
Okay. Well, let me just. I'll give you a couple of real examples. But the important thing to realize in any challenge that I do is that I'm responsible 100% for everything. Okay. So, and this is a very powerful place to stand in, because it eliminates the ability to place blame or accuse or get into a downward spiral of non-resolution, okay? Something that's not going to get you to the other side as a superhero, but it's going to, you know, maybe get you to the other side with damaging repercussions. So the ability to take 100% responsibility, no matter what it is, no matter who did it, where it came from, how it originated. I'm the owner of Seeds. You know, I'm the owner of my company. I'm at the top, okay? And I'm the one that everything stops with. If there's challenging decisions, I got to make the decision. If something challenging happened, I'm the one that ultimately maybe didn't train the person appropriately, maybe didn't give proper instructions, maybe didn't follow through. How could it be that I could have done something better that would have shifted the outcome? So I always look at, where am I responsible? What should have I done differently? What can we put in place to make the change?
Mm-hmm.
A recent one that recently happened, a lot of times you'll get clients who have projects and we always show a proof, okay, where the client sends us the files, we send them back the proof, they look at the proof, they sign off on it. We have two phases. One, they sign off on a PDF proof, a digital copy. Then we print out a hard copy. They can physically look at, turn the pages, see if everything's there. They then sign off on that. Everything's good to go. We recently had a situation where a client had a project where they signed off on all the proofs. We made all the corrections that they wanted to make. They saw them. We then went to press, and since there were so many corrections, we actually picked up not the last set of corrections, but the corrections before that. So there was a number of typos and misspellings that we made plates and we printed the job. And we bound the job and we delivered the job. And that was a big problem. Because now we've had the entire cost of the job out there in the client's hands, and worst case scenario, they basically said, look, we don't want to pay for a $20,000 job. I mean, that was the challenge, okay? So I have to look at where was the problem? Where am I responsible? What didn't I do? Where did this go wrong? And where it went wrong was, I just started with myself. I wasn't there on press, okay? I didn't have every single series of proofs, which we normally have to check, to go over and make sure that the plates that we had on press had the actual changes that the customer finally signed off on in the very end. And the reason this happened, not that it really matters, but this customer was in a particular rush, okay? We had 48 hours to produce this job because it was for an event. It was an award ceremony, and the client needed it because the ceremony happened on, Saturday night, and we got finished up the artwork on Thursday. So there was really not a lot of time. Things were rushed, and we made an error. Now, the question was, what am I going to do about this? So I didn't even know that it happened until I called the client on Monday morning and I said, hey, how did everything go? How did the event go? You got the books. We had to overnight the books to Washington, D.C. They're like, everything went great. There was one problem. I'm like, what was that? They said, well, we printed the wrong version. You didn't print the final changes that we made in the book. And, my heart just like dropped. It's kind of like all that time, all that energy went into the project, and it's kind of like, red flag failure. You failed. Like, and first thing you just have to do is just say, hey, I'm completely sorry. I don't, figure out how that happened. Whatever you need us to do, we'll make it right, And that's taking 100% responsibility for it,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I told the client right there, I didn't even know how it happened or what went into it, if it was really our fault or not. I said, we won't charge you for the job. We'll do whatever needs to happen. And if that's what needs to happen, we'll get to the bottom of it. And, heck, it's not right, made a mistake, we're not going to charge you. They immediately said, no, we know that everything went into it, we know we were pushing for the rush. So it's kind of like an immediate feedback. I went to the wall, I said, look, hey, here's what we're going to offer. And it was kind of like, that was 100% what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it ended up that we ended up offering, we said, whatever you'd like us to take off. The client told us, why don't you give us 15% off the job? We'll call it a day. We know mistakes happen. And, you know, we'll just do better and you know, support you in the future and make sure that doesn't happen again. So there is a challenge that, you know, could have very easily gone bad. And I feel that, you know, by taking always 100% responsibility for a situation immediately, that kind of builds like an energy vortex in a signature that who you are is 100% satisfaction, 100% behind what you're doing, and that you're only going to offer the best ever. And if it isn't the best ever, then, you know, it's free. You know, they don't have to pay for it. And that's a miracle. That's kind of like the secret weapon that you can have in making sure that you're trued up to really standing behind your vision and your commitment. And it'll always come back to you, always. You know, there's never a situation that I've run into in the 25 years that I've been into this that I didn't just go all the way, just like offer the whole thing, you know, whatever it's going to take to make it right. And because one of my mentors once told me, it's not the problems that happen, it's how you handle the problems that make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And, yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, and it's interesting how when you're open to just give the whole thing for free, you ended up with just was it 15% or 50%?
15.
15.
Mhm.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge difference between, you know, losing the whole thing and 15%. But that was because you were open to the whole thing. You know, taking responsibility. I think that's absolutely essential. That and that applies to everything, doesn't it? Responsibility. If someone at work is, you know, one of your team is, you know, not producing the goods, or they're sick, or you know, they need something or whatever, you know, it's your responsibility to deal with them, to deal with everything, you know. That's actually a lesson that took me a while to learn. I still I'm learning this, because there's so many levels of responsibility in our lives, because it literally includes everything. And one of the things is that I find is that when I assume people are just doing things because that's what we agreed, and then I find out later that they haven't been doing what they agreed to do, for whatever reason, that's my responsibility as well, because that was an assumption I made, that things were just going on smoothly, rather than being proactive and checking stuff. So being passive is not taking responsibility as well as reacting to situations when they come up. There's so many levels of it. So I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, keeping in communication or keeping engaged with what people are doing, what they're responsible for doing, making sure they have all the information they need to do what they need to do, and mm-hmm. that's that's really my job, is to really know what, not only what I'm doing, but what everybody else is doing to a pretty high degree, because that's where, if there is that breakdown in communication, that there's reason for people to make assumptions. I mean, I think a very good book is, you know, The Four Agreements. And those are really strong core fundamentals that clearly can keep you out of, you know, situation of intense challenge. And one is not to make assumptions, assume that something's getting done, and then problem happens and it's like, oh, well, you were supposed to do that, but whose responsibility is that? I would say that, again, that's my responsibility, because I wasn't really in proper dialogue to make sure that the person had what they needed, they were doing it, there was a check and balance system in place. So, I mean, that's another, you know, point that I think is worth mentioning, that I feel is kind of a secret tool, is to really have the fundamentals down. Like, if you're going to have a business and you're going to be operating in certain environments, I mean, we have, like, requests for quotes, we have proposals, we have purchase orders, we have invoices, you know, we have all these different kind of procedures in forms. You know, they're physical manifestations of kind of like moving towards your vision. You know, these are kind of like the building blocks, the foundation. And every business has it. You have to find out what yours are. And those are the real things that I think are worth focusing on, because if you follow a standard sets of procedures, things are very easy. So that's important for two reasons. There's control, okay, because you can have things flow seamlessly and easily because you've done the homework. You have a system in place to handle all the processes. So it's kind of like a little manufacturing thing. You do this, and then you do this, and then you do that. Anybody can do that, you know. You can bring anybody in, they just, here's step one, step two, step three, step four. And that's important for two reasons. One, it creates consistency. Two, it kind of makes sure you're involved in the responsibility factor, because you're the one that's created those processes that work, that are good, they're tested and true. But it also allows you to scale your business. So it's kind of like, if you don't do the fundamentals and you don't have like a system, the way things operate when all is glorious and grand and it's like things are smooth and harmonious and you're making money and it's like, hey, this is my vision's working out. All of a sudden you get maybe an order out of nowhere because you've been magnetizing that, and it's going to increase your business like 250%. It's like with that foundation in place, with those systems, you can easily scale. Kind of like, okay, no problem. We just need to do more of these processes in order to receive in this new inflow. Maybe that requires hiring some new people, getting some volunteers, maybe hiring some interns, but there's still this standard operating baseline, which is powerful. And I think a real key, whatever you're starting as a business or whatever the vision is, that you just kind of look at, what do I need? What are the basic tools that's going to have everything flow smoothly? If you look in the industry, like you've got the ISO certification programs, the standards of excellence, most of the high-end companies in the world have a base of procedures and checks and balances that they all follow in order to ensure excellence. Okay, and, you know, you're no different. Like, everybody's kind of in the same boat. If they're going to have an excellent corporation, they need kind of like some groundwork. So I would say that's something that is very, very important. And the third reason it's important is because it frees you up to think creatively. Look at your market. Where are you going to go? Who's your new clients? How are you going to get bigger, expand? If you're worrying about how I'm going to process something or how I'm going to do this or this job's different, or, and you're trying to figure things out on a foundational level, you're never going to get bigger. You're never going to have an opportunity to creatively think, because you're going to be kind of in this funnel loop of trying to figure out how to just maintain what you have. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have the fundamentals worked out.
Yeah, that is essential, because at the end of the day, if you think about any business or any service, even if it's a non-profit or an institution of some kind, you've got you've got a person who needs help with something. They have a problem. They want a solution. They have a need. Then you've got you and your product and what you offer that solves their problem. In your case, it's print. They have a problem. They need their book printed, and they want it doing in a green way or whatever, or designed and printed. You have design and print solution for them. And then they go through a series of steps between the idea of having it done and you walking them through, making sure they get the right thing, giving them a quote, et cetera, which is on that side of things, getting it all ready so that they agree to it and everything's clear. And then the other side is the internal, how you deal with actually printing the job and then shipping it out to them. And yeah, and if those systems are not clear, then you won't be able to deliver on time or consistently, and that's going to impact them, and they don't get their needs met. And so it doesn't matter how big or small your business is or your company is or your project is. I mean, if it's really small and you only work one-on-one, you know, you can be a bit more flexible. But even then, it's good to have a system. And I think the essential pieces are making sure that you only attract the right people to start with. Because if Jeff's attracting people who don't want green printing, that's a big problem straight away, because they're wondering, what's all this about, you know? So you get the right people, you talk to them in the way that they like, and then you find a way of delivering the result they want as quickly and effectively as possible. And that's it. I mean, that's really business in a nutshell, wouldn't you say, Jeff? Or is there anything you want to add? Like, the overall system. Like, if you were starting out again, what do you think of the essential little ingredients for somebody? Because a lot of people don't think this way, you know? But in fact, most people I speak to who are like budding entrepreneurs or having their own projects, they're kind of good at one thing. Like, they might be good at healing, or they might be good at coaching or something like that, but they have no idea about anything except that one skill. Like, they might have got trained for 50 years in this amazing thing, and they're like super good at what they do, but everything else except what they're good at, they have the slightest idea how to deal with. So they haven't got any clients. If clients do come, they don't know how to charge them. The whole thing is a mess. And so they're just not sustainable, and it doesn't work out for them. So if you were to start again, or you were to advise somebody, what would you say to try and make it as straightforward as possible to set up a system?
Well, that's all about being a superhero, you know? I mean, a superhero knows how to do everything. In all circumstances, under any situation, they know exactly the right thing to do at the right moment to save the day, save the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not being called upon to be, you know, specialists. You know, we're called upon to be superheroes. So you need to know everything. You need to know how to run the charge machine, because if you leave that in someone else's hands and they charge, you know, your client $9 instead of $9,000, and at the end of the month, it's kind of like, you know, that you gave them the responsibility to charge it off, but there's no cash flow, and but they really weren't properly showed how to use the machine because you don't know how to use it, and they just tried to figure it out themselves and made a mistake. Whose fault is that? Again, it's your fault, you know, because as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a visionary, as a leader in the world, as a superhero, you need to own it all and do it all. You know, you'll have support, but, you know, when it comes to saving the day, Batman, you know, he's figuring it all out. You know, he's got Robin there at his side, but that's why, yeah. Another important thing I would put in here is that 90% of this is energy work, 10% of it is real work. So meditation, you know, practices, visioning, creating your vision boards, creating your mission is kind of what you're going to draw in, how you're going to do it, walking through it in your mind. Like, how, if I got a $200,000 order, how would I handle that? How would that move through my system? You know, these are all things that you can, you know, one spiritual teacher told me one day, you should be spending 90% of your time in meditation, 10% actually doing work. Now, I'm still working towards that one, but if you're able to see the clear path for anything, then implementing it is the easy part. So by having kind of a foundation of, like, what do I need to make this work? And really thinking about that, really looking at every situation, every opportunity, every circumstance, how would that play out itself? You know, that's the energy work. That's kind of the foundation. And by having that in place, really clearly thinking that out ahead of time and knowing how that's all going to operate, you can be halfway around the world, you know, doing something completely different and be energetically connected to your business. I mean, that's how I've done it. That's how other people do it. You know, the guy who wrote the book, the 1 hour work week, you know, that's how he's doing it. There's clear vision and understanding of how things need to flow, and you've got that worked out. And that allows you to expand your skills, your superhero set, because things are already set in place. They're working fine. You know, business enlarges and contracts, the economy or whatever circumstances are going on, and you're free to really create new. Figure out how things work, maybe find a better system, you know, find a different new client, you know, put your attention to other areas to learn and nurture and engage yourself in how am I going to be on the leading edge? Because if you're not constantly on that leading edge, exploring your vision and engaged in your mission, then you're not fully living into your superhero power.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So hold the vision. Imagine the system. And we, you know, we talk about the systems in the training. And in essence, it is. Very personal. There isn't actually one system that works for everyone because everyone does something different. And you know, if you haven't got a printing company, you don't need all these different estimates and like proofs and all this stuff because no one wants proofs because they're not printing anything. So a lot of the stuff Jeff's talking about won't apply to you unless you're in a similar kind of business. But the basic system of giving a massive value to people, attracting the right people, delivering massive value to them, helping them in a big way, and making sure that they get that value and that they receive that and that they feel that they got it and that they thank you for getting it. Do you know they actually received a result that they wanted? That, you know, basically that's all it is. That's all business is. If someone has a problem who wants you to solve it for them because they believe in the way that you solve things and the way that you do your stuff, and they like you and they want to work with you, you solve it for them. And then if it's a business, then they'll exchange money, or they might not be any money exchange. They might just help you out, or they might not be anything. There's all sorts of things. But the main thing is that you connect with the right person, get them the result they want, and that they recognize they got it. And everyone knows that there's been some shift, transformation. Business really, and or service ultimately, is giving somebody a transformation, giving them a transformative result. So if someone comes to Jeff with an idea, I've got this thing, I need it designed and printed, they have a problem, they have an idea, he transforms their idea into a physical, real thing that is tangible. They can sell it, they can give it to people, they can put it on their bookshelf, and they can even put it into their little briefcase and wander around the house with it if they wanted to. And I'm sure they do, actually. And I'm looking forward to you printing my new book, Jeff, Cosmic Travelers. I imagine it being one of those shiny, lovely, colorful books. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I'll no doubt be wandering around the house with it in my little backpack. So,
as well as everyone else in their little briefcase.
Yes. And it just walks about with it. It has an effect on them. So just last thing is, what would you say the most essential things to avoid? You know, if someone wants to set things up, get things going, biggest thing to avoid, what do you think are the biggest mistakes somebody makes that you've seen consistently in other people and yourself, so they know where to pay attention to, what to avoid?
Well, one of the policies that we have here at Seeds is 100% open and honest communication. Mm-hmm. That if anybody has any type of a communication, that we sit down, we listen to it, we hear the communication, we, you know, accept it as valid, and then we look at what needs to be put in place for change. And, you know, that's a powerful opportunity for people to feel that they've been heard, versus avoiding not recognizing people's own gifts and powers and input and, you know, contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that, and you avoid, again, being in communication, taking responsibility for things, what it leads or can lead to is that people can build up resentment. And that's counterflow to the success model and having the best ever. Because if there's a situation where people don't feel comfortable that they can express things or communicate in an open environment or feel heard, then they don't necessarily feel like that they're making a contribution, or if they did have something important to contribute, that it would be listened to. So I would definitely, you know, encourage, you know, an open door policy with everyone, that, hey, you can say anything to me, no matter what it is, and I'm not going to take it personally. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it as a opportunity to do better. And that's a superhero quality, you know, because you're out there affecting global change. And you need to be able to affect every aspect of your environment and make change, positive change, in all those fields. So you need to be aware of all the fields, whether you think they're valid or not. You know, somebody has opinion, you know, I don't agree with that. Well, why don't you agree with it? What, you know, where is the validity in their opinion? And a lot of times you, if you ignore it, it's going to come, it's just going to keep coming back around over and over and over. It's going to be like one of those cycles. Like it's an opportunity for you to learn, to grow, and to expand to the next level. And if you're not open to hearing it, then you're going to, it's just going to keep coming around until it gets louder and louder and louder. And it's going to be a challenge. The challenge is going to get bigger and possibly more costly. And, you know, it could just take you out. So it's important to be open to any and all feedback.
Yeah, I think that's great. I find the same thing with many situations that I'm in. I like to say to people, if there's anything you don't like, if there's anything I'm doing that is annoying you or something like that, let me know immediately, please. Because one of the worst things that can happen is when people are having this built-up resentment, you know, and it's like a spiritual, it's kind of spiritual BS, frankly, of everyone trying to pretend that they're tolerating. I was having a long chat with someone this morning for an hour, this same situation where this person was tolerating this situation, but actually behind it was all sorts of other stuff. And it's just this whole kind of messy thing. And it would be better just to be out with it, cards on the table, what's going on, let's deal with this thing. And then you can actually move forward and create win-win situations and really move things ahead, and it becomes better. You know, even with this training, people have said, oh, I don't like this, this doesn't make sense, I'd love it if you had this thing. I'm like, okay, tell me all this stuff. And you probably, if you've been on this training since the beginning, some people have, some people haven't, you've probably seen changes happening again and again and again. There's going to be more changes because we want to make it better and better and stronger and faster and more useful. So we're always open to improving things. We're not like, this is it, that's it. You know, we want to make it the best ever. So I think with you, with your business, absolutely listen. And listen to clients as well as your team. And yeah, that's great advice, Jack. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yay. So any last secret that you'd like to share about business, manifesting business or projects? Anything that comes up for you? Help someone make it easy and fast and fun?
Yeah, I do. The special secrets are that you're not on your own. That you have, you know, a whole host of guides, spiritual guides, that are willing to support and help you. You just have to ask. Ask and you shall receive. So, and that can look many different ways depending on your beliefs and your practices, but don't underestimate the power of the invisible forces that are guiding you along your path. And that go for the biggest, best, and most ultimate that you can think of. Because you don't have anything to lose, and you have the entire universe that is pretty much unknown backing you and supporting you in your visions. So definitely connect in with your higher guides and to have them support you. And if you don't know who your guides are, then, I mean, I have guides, I channel guides, I have guides. But, you know, when I first started out, before I was really exploring all different types of approaches and really getting connected who I was spiritually, I just made up my own counsel. I mean, this is my little secret. I basically said, okay, you know, and I kind of developed this out of, you know, Napoleon Hill's, Andrew Carnegie's work, and it's kind of like, well, these guys, some of the most successful people that's ever lived on the planet, they had like a whole team. They kind of all worked together. You know, Ford worked with Carnegie, and they built, you know, steel mills, and they, you know, had Goodyear rubber company, and they all kind of synergistically worked together and built these, you know, massive businesses. No, not that they were the most spiritually evolved people, but kind of like those spirits are still out there. So, I mean, you can kind of connect with your own counsel, and I would recommend it. Say, like, who would I like to have on my board of directors on a spiritual level?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to have maybe, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, and I'd like to have, you know, the Dalai Lama, and I would like to have this person and that person. Just who your mentors are, who you really look up to in whatever your field is. And in your meditations, just connect with them. You know, imagine they're all sitting around a table, you know, your boardroom table, and ask them anything you want to ask. Just sit there with your eyes closed in meditation, and, you know, if you don't have higher guides, just connect with them and ask them questions. What would you do in this situation? What should I do next? What's my list? And you'll get answers. Now, that's a beginner way to kind of to work on the energetic level, and the chances are who's going to be answering those questions. They're not necessarily those visual people that you've put in those positions, but they're going to be your higher guides, you know, your consciousness, your soul communicating to you from, you know, the light realms. It guiding and directing you as to what your next step should be. So if you don't feel like you can really connect on that level quite yet, then configure it a little different, wire it up a little differently. Like, who in your community? Who, you know, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your grandfather who's passed away, or your grandmother who's a special, you know, contribution to your life. Have those people down and say, hey, look, I need your support, I need your guidance, I need your vision. What should I do with this? You know, you're in the light realms. You can support me, and you'll get answers. That's a secret superhero tidbit.
That's powerful. Yeah, I mean,
and the more and more you rely on that, the more and more that guidance is going to be coming through, because it kind of takes the burden of responsibility off of you. Well, I'm just talking to myself. Well, I just made that up. But you know, it's a powerful visual connection, and the more you use it, the more you become familiar with it. It'll just be coming all the time. It'll be a straight stream of communication from the light realms to support your endeavors.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And so on the one hand, Jeff has a printing company, and on the other hand, he has an angel company that works for him on another level. Got his paid staff who's sitting in front of computers, and then he's got his, I don't know what to call them, beyond the world staff who don't need paying anything because they're already all right, just giving blessings and guidance. And yeah, that's what's cool about the way we do things around here, you know, and how superheroes do things. Is it's unusual, it's magical, it's much more interesting, and it's also grounded in as well. So you've got that wonderful balance. And so really go away from this, take the time to work out, make sure you're in tune with the times, you've got something valuable that other people actually need right now, you know who you're helping, you know what their values are. If you have a team, make sure your team is on the same page as you, and are feeling the vibe, and everyone's excited and enthusiastic and up for it, have fun with it, and also have that higher consciousness awareness of these other non-physical supports that are going on, and get good systems going on the ground level. And just at the end of the day, it's all about you supporting some other people or another person in their mission. And if you got all those things going on, you're going to be good to go, and it's going to work out, and you'll be sustained yourself. The more value you add to someone else's life, the more value you're going to receive in your own life. It's just the law of karma. So, yay. Any last words, Brother Jeff? This has been inspiring, interesting, and it's nice to have an inside scoop on your business. What's the website domain name, by the way? And any last words in the web domain so that people can check you out? And
sure, yes. The website is Seeds, S-E-E-D-S, greenprinting.com, or you can also get there by seedsprinting.com. So definitely... feel free to check us out online or call me personally if you'd like to chat about any projects that you might have, or just talk about your project in general. You can email back Michael to the link where you got this connection, and he can definitely put you in touch. So.
Hi.
Last parting words. I would say, you know, never sacrifice the quality of what you're offering for time or money. And that's really keeps you connected to your purpose and the meaning of what you're doing. So just keep trued up to offering the best ever that you can offer. And no matter how much time that client takes, no matter, you know, how little of money, or if you're going to save money, or there's some monetary incentive to do it, ignore that. Ignore the time that it takes. Just focus on delivering the best ever optimum product, and you won't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is the essence of providing love, joy, and satisfaction to your life purpose. Because you know you're giving the best. You're giving everything you got. You don't care about money. You don't care about time. Money and time, you know, more time goes, the more money you'll make. But all you're focused on is quality. And with that, everything else comes. So seek the best. Seek the
Thank
best
you,
that
brother.
Life has to offer.
That's great, great advice. Yeah, make it the best ever, the best ever, the best ever. Because when you look back over your life, you've created beautiful, magical things that have been valuable and quality. You know, there's so much junk in the world. So great advice, bro. Do the best.
Yeah, just a quote that I ran across today that fits in there. Don't fear change. It's always the best. So a lot of you know, if you're looking to make a change, start a new business, you know, continue on your superhero journey. Don't fear change, because change is always the best thing ever.
Perfect.
So thank you, Brother Michael.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Thank you, Nick Good, and all the other superheroes, and appreciate this opportunity to talk with you and share some insights, and look forward to hearing what's your missions and what you're all up to. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. All right, bro. Well, I look forward to chatting to you again, and have a beautiful day.
Aloha.
Aloha.